You're listening to Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is the third installation, and if this is your first time around, welcome. In the Trenches is my life. That's what I used to live, and I kind of believe I'm in there all the time. And we talk football on this podcast. I have another podcast, Flavor in the Year. We talk about, you know, a lot of different things, pop culture, music, politics, the whole nine yards. But In the Trenches is strictly football because football is life, and we do know that. Football's right around the corner, preseason for the Buccaneers. That starts on Friday. They'll be playing the Bengals. And I just actually left from one Buccaneer place. They had Legends Day, which they do once a year, and they invite all us old hag-type players, and you saw some guys from the past. Ran into Tony Mayberry, who I see often, and Mark Royals, and Rob Taylor, a guy I played next to, Ricky Reynolds, Jorge Diaz, a lot of offensive linemen showed up, and this also Jeff Carlson and some other guys. So it's nice to see all the older guys. It's good to see some of the older guys looking good. And the ones that are a little older than we are, I mean, they don't look so good, okay? Football tends to put years on you in the wrong way, that's for sure. So over there at One Buccaneer Place, hanging out, it is hot as Hades out, and I couldn't imagine being out there on that football field anymore. That is crazy. Every time I look at it now, it just looks crazy. It's hot out there, but that being said, what they're doing ain't what we used to do, I'm telling you. I mean, we were joking about it today. You know, today they had their pads on, and I was watching, and the majority of the time, they weren't hitting. I mean, they don't hit anymore at all. And I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. But when you look at teams like, you know, in the Hall of Fame game, you didn't see any starters. You're probably not going to see a lot of Buccaneers starters on Friday. The last preseason game, they don't play at all. So what exactly are these guys getting themselves ready for a 16-game season? It's just, you know, it's not me bellyaching. It's just a lot different than it used to be back in the day. So at One Buck Place, I was watching. I saw Gerald McCoy wasn't practicing because they taking care of people is the way to go now, okay? It was different back in the day because you practice back in the day. If you were hurt, you practice, period. There wasn't no time off and all kind of stuff like that. And looking out there, it's hard to assess or evaluate your own team when you're going against yourself. It's almost impossible. But for the people that are out there often, I've been out there a couple times, they're saying that DeSean Jackson is about as fast as they've seen. I've heard he's the fastest guy the Bucs ever had. Joey Galloway was pretty damn fast now. I don't know if he's faster than Joey Galloway, if you remember that name. It wasn't that long ago. But Joey Galloway, when he was here, was probably one of the faster guys in the NFL. So we've had speed before, but maybe not as talented as DeSean Jackson. Joey Galloway was a talented wide receiver, but I think DeSean Jackson takes it to another level. Horace Copeland was another guy that was out there today. If you go before Joey Galloway, there probably wasn't a speedster until you go way, way back with Horace Copeland way back in the day. High C from the U. So the Buccaneers are going to have more speed out there, which is important in any sport. And we'll see what they have on Friday. Now, Friday's the first preseason game. Once again, you're not going to see the starters as much as you would like to, although we're still going to watch it because it's football. It's football season. I don't care who is on. I don't care if it's preseason and it's the Bengals against Jacksonville. I'm watching it. It's football. I love football. So Friday, I'm going to be sitting here maybe with a cocktail watching the football game. And the Buccaneers have to understand this. With Hard Knocks here and all the buzz that's going on out there, there's going to be very, very high expectations for this football team, which means absolutely nothing. It doesn't give you any victories. But for the Buccaneers, they have to learn how to win, okay? That sounds easy, but it ain't. Because if you're looking at this football team that has a lot of talent here, there, and everywhere, obviously the goal is to make the playoffs. That's everybody's goal in the NFL, to make the playoffs, and then whatever happens after that happens. But if you're looking for leadership and experience, look around the Buccaneers locker room. There's not a whole lot of people in that locker room that have been to the playoffs, okay? So, you know, when you look around teams like, you know, New England and Pittsburgh, they got guys that have been to the dance for year after year. We don't have that experience. So the Buccaneers need to learn how to win. They need to learn to have a winning mentality. Even if the New England Patriots are out there practicing and in preseason, I guarantee when Tom Brady and that offense gets out there that they are playing those games in preseason like their regular season games, mentally, okay? The mental part of the game is important, maybe even more so than the physical part. We had some great conversations today with my former lineman buddies. And we all know that the offensive linemen are way superior than any other position on the NFL field. That's a fact, by the way. It actually is a fact. It's documented that we do get the highest grades on the Wonderlic test. And we're just better people than them, especially the defensive linemen, because they're not good people. So we're sitting around talking about the importance of the mental part of the game, okay? We all understand you got to lift a lot of weights and you got to be strong and all those kind of things like that. But what makes you stick around is your intelligence. Just like anything else you do, you can't continue to make the same mistakes. And we're looking for some of the younger players, Donovan Smith, guys like that, to stop making some of those young mistakes. Ali Marpet's going to be playing center. Hopefully from what I hear, he's an intelligent young man. I've met him before, like his attitude, big, strong kid. Let's hope he doesn't move over to center and start making some centers or young-type mistakes. Jameis Winston, obviously, is an unbelievable talent. But every once in a while, Jameis will throw a ball up there, and you go, what the hell was Jameis thinking about? That happens. That happens with youth. So a lot of this young stuff, they got to get out, okay, because once again, the buzz is great. Everybody's asking me, "Hey, what do you think?" The Bucks. I was at a pool party yesterday. We had our first dignitary pool party at Kimpton Hotel Zamora, which was, I would say, quite a success. There was more tail there than I don't know. I don't even know where it came from, but it seemed like we shipped in the tail. Anyways, so I was sitting there talking to some Buccaneer fans and. You know, one kid was Buccaneered out, and he was like, "Look, I looked at the schedule, and I think we're gonna go 12-4." And I said, "Really?" And I go, "Where'd you find the four losses? Really, four whole losses?" Let me tell you something, okay? Football is hard every week. Every week, there's only two teams out there, and both teams expect to win. So you gotta do that 16 times, okay? And when you got to go, when you have to play New England on Thursday night, you have to go to Green Bay in December. And those are things that are tough. Those are all tough games. We obviously know that in-division games are going to be tough. But I don't see anybody that's, you know, any world beaters in the South. But you look at the Buccaneers' schedule now, look at it closely. The Bucs don't play an NFC South team until October 29th. They don't play any, so you can lose out real quick. You don't want to go into October 29th, you know, behind if somebody else by three games or something like that. So winning early is going to be important, and it's important in every football season. You know, you mess around and start 0-2, that's a lot of uphill climbing after that, and the Bucs don't want to get into that. So this Friday is going to be a preseason against the Cincinnati Bengals. I will be watching it. There won't be many starters in there. And the mentality of the present-day football players and front office and head coaches are so much different than it used to be. Once again, I just turned 50, so I'm an old bird. So it was almost a different game back in the day. When Bill Parcells, who I believe Bill Parcells now, well, I would say maybe Bill Belichick now is the best coach ever. I mean, maybe. But I think Belichick learned from Parcells. is one of the best coaches of all times. His mentality, he was a dick now, okay? I was with him for a little while in New York, and he is an a-hole. But an a-hole that you have to respect because he knew the game better than any coach I've ever been around. Like, Bill Parcells would walk around in training camp. He would know what's going on in special teams. He would know the technique for offensive linemen. He would know all the play calls. When he's watching film, he knew everything. And Bill Parcells would tell you when you walked in the room, and when I was sitting across from him when he was talking about signing me as a free agent, first of all, he's the scariest man I've ever been around. He's just a scary, mean, curmudgeonly dude, okay? And he told me right off the bat, he goes, if something happens to you here, I did it. I'm responsible for everything that happens in this building. And I'll be damned if everybody in that building didn't walk around on eggshells all the time. Everybody was scared all the time, from ball boys to trainers. And he had everybody hypnotized, okay? And I think there was a lot of snitches out there, because I remember saying something in the training room once, and some guy looks at me and he says, I think it was Aaron Glenn, the little cornerback. He goes, yo, dude. He goes, you can't be talking out loud like that, dude. There's people all over here. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, dude. You don't know who's listening. And everybody goes and reports back to Bill Parcells. But going back to preseason, back in the day, this was Bill Parcells' philosophy. And listen to me. I'm old school. I agree with it. The first preseason game, he would play all the starters till the end of the first quarter. Okay? Now, once again, you're going to see a preseason game. We just watched a Hall of Fame game. I don't think any starters were in that at all. You're going to see our starters go maybe a series on Friday, tops. Maybe some players won't play. The second preseason game, his players would play until halftime. Third preseason game, till the end of the third quarter. And in the last preseason game, they would play the entire game. Why is that? You're like, that's crazy. Well, a week after, you have to play an entire game. Now, as an offensive lineman, you know how many times I tapped my head and said, I got to come out because I'm tired? In 9 years? Never. So you got to get yourself ready to play 65 or 70 plays. And I don't know how you can be ready to play 70 plays when they don't ever hit. They never hit. The running part of it's nothing, okay? You could get yourself ready for the running part in the offseason. But the hitting part, you can't get yourself ready for it. It's impossible to simulate the hitting part. So when you go into the regular season, I know they're trying to, you know, protect all these guys, but I don't think they're doing the right thing. I really don't. Hard Knocks is out there everywhere. I mean, the cameras are everywhere. Once you pull into one Buccaneer place, it seems like Hard Knocks is everywhere. Cameras and that's going to be showed tomorrow. I'll be watching it. From what I hear, it's going to be very Jameis heavy, which I predicted a long, long time ago. And this is probably going to do more for his brand than maybe anybody else ever in Hard Knocks. Because, you know, most of the up-and-coming stars have already been out there. Jameis, if you look around the league, the up-and-coming stars, if you talk about up-and-coming stars, and you don't bring up Jameis, and you're wrong, okay? Because for me, that's a no-brainer. What's great is Marcus Mariota, who came out, and Jameis and Marcus Mariota are going to be linked forever. They're always going to be compared to each other. What's funny is, and I said this at the draft, the odds of them both being good are minuscule. I was wrong. They're both pretty damn good. Like, I think Jameis is a better quarterback, and I think he has a better future. But you watch Marcus Mariota play. That kid can play now. If he stays healthy, talent-wise, he's as talented as Jameis. Now, I like Jameis' durability. I think Jameis is a better field general. I think Jameis is a better leader. But then again, I'm not in Tennessee, so I don't know that much about Marcus Mariota. As an outsider looking in, I can see that I would love to go and fight with Jameis on the football field. Marcus Mariota, I just like the way the kid competes. And he's got a good skill set, that's for sure. So I'll be watching Hard Knocks tomorrow night. I actually got invited to a premiere party. And that means the Buccaneers are taking this thing seriously, and they should. Jill Hobbs, who is the only person in one Buccaneer place that's been here there since day one. Love it or death, everybody loves Jill, okay? I just today having all the, like they call us old football players, legends. All the legends are there, and everybody has to approach Jill, give her a hug and a kiss. Just sweet people. She invited me, and Brian Ford invited me as well, to Tampa Theater, beautiful place downtown. They're going to have a viewing party, and they're supposed to be making it real bougie and sophisticated and ties and stuff, and I've been hanging around too long, man. I need a rest, okay? I need a rest from outside and people. So I'll be sitting on my couch, hanging out, watching it, and that'll be a better setting for me. But the Buccaneers are taking this serious. I was talking to Brian Ford, who is the president of the Buccaneers. I was talking to him today, and I said, "You excited about it?" He says, "Yes and no." He goes, "Because I don't know what's going to be on the screen. You could put cameras on, and a camera can make you look bad, too. And Hard Knocks, their job is not to go out there and make everybody look good. You know that, right? That's not good television. Some people are going to look bad, okay? It's going to happen. That's why if I was a player, I wouldn't want it, okay? I wouldn't want it. Because, you know, here it's preseason. As a starter, there's only one place to go is down or look bad, okay? So I hope, first of all, what I do know is being on HBO, having that many eyes, is going to do a lot for the Tampa Bay area, because anytime anything happens on television in Tampa Bay, everybody says, "Dang, look how good our city looks." You know why our city looks good? Because it's a freaking beautiful city, okay? Whether it's the race in St. Petersburg, the Formula One race, doesn't matter what it is. It's beautiful here. And anything on television is good for our economy, because Tampa Bay is about to blow up, everybody. Because I've been being in marketing, being in the media, athletics, I'm exposed to a lot of things, and I hear a lot of mumbling going on, and everybody is coming to Tampa Bay to come up, because this city is growing and blowing up faster than I would say any other city in the nation at this moment. You know, I think Austin, Texas was a city that you'd hear a lot. I think when you're elsewhere, I think everybody's talking about Tampa Bay now, because there's everything here. I was talking to somebody yesterday about, they're like, "God, it's too hot here. I'm going to move to California. I'm going to move to San Diego." I go, "How much money you got saved up?" I said, if it ain't $100,000, you better stay your ass here, because everything's expensive in California, okay? Now, it's also 50 degrees at night. It's gorgeous, but it is expensive as hell, and I don't know how they live. I don't. When I was recruited by the Chargers in 1994, I believe it was, Bobby Bethard loved me from back in the day. I don't know what it was, but Bobby Bethard, if you remember, he was the old GM from the Chargers. I remember we sat down when I was in college in a McDonald's, I think it was. I don't remember. It was just some little restaurant. And he says, "I really like you as a football player. I want you to be a Charger. Don't be shocked if we draft you." And I said, "I'll be great. I love San Diego." I didn't know anything much about it. But Bobby Bethard, who actually had the pick behind the Buccaneers in the fifth round, and I think they might have picked me. He didn't. But I could have gone to the San Diego Chargers in 1994, but my agent said, "Sit down." I said, "Okay." He said, "You know the house that you just bought for $175,000, which was a lot of money back in the day, got a 3,000-square-foot house down Big Willie, $175,000 house." He goes, "That house is $800,000 in San Diego. So that little bit of money that they're paying you extra, that's a little bit of money. Oh, yeah, by the way, state tax, 11%. So you do the math. If you're making, we'll give it a round number, $1 million, it's $110,000 off the top. That's not talking about cost of living, nothing like that. So I stayed my ass here in Tampa Bay, and guess what happened in 1994? Anybody remember what happened in 1994? The Chargers went to the Super Bowl. Now, they got whooped by the 49ers, but they still went to the Super Bowl, much to my dismay. But listen, it's not about who retires with a ring. It's not, because there's a lot of people that retire with rings. They ain't got no damn money. It's about taking care of your family afterwards. So, you know, it's still in the back of my head. It would have been nice to play in the Super Bowl. And I think our mighty Buccaneers probably went about 5-11 that year. So it was a good year for us, or something like that. Now, obviously, everybody else is playing preseason football as well. And once again, I'm going to get in as much football as I can. And there's a couple people I'm going to look at, because I've said many times I don't like running backs anymore. I just don't like them. I mean, they don't last. When Adrian Peterson's gone, that's going to be it. Marshawn Lynch is back. I don't think that's going to work out either, by the way. You don't sit out a year and come back and take licks. It just doesn't work, okay? It's just, especially a running back. Looking around the league, there's a couple people that I just don't think are going to make it. And it's going to piss some people off, and that's okay, because they have a lot of fans out there. Leonard Fournette is not going to be a good NFL football player, and this is why, okay? If you can't evade people in the NFL, you won't work. If you think you're going to run over somebody in the NFL, it's not going to work. He won't be healthy. First of all, Leonard Fournette wasn't that healthy in college to begin with, and he reminds me of Jadeveon Clowney. Everybody was like, Jadeveon should come out early. He's ready for the NFL. Now, I think Jadeveon Clowney might have made the Pro Bowl last year, but he still ain't that damn good. And to this point, he's really done nothing for me. When I watch Jadeveon Clowney play, this is what I see. I see a soft football player that makes a lot of plays because of his athletic ability. But he ain't running over nobody. And everybody thought that he was going to be the next coming. And I think last year he had 5 sacks maybe. And I think he made a Pro Bowl because of his name, okay? Watch the film. He's still not that great of a football player. Leonard Fournette, to me, doesn't have the right running backs. He doesn't have the right style, okay? Le'Veon Bell has a wonderful NFL-style running. Hey, take your time. Hey, and it's not about violence as a running back. It doesn't work anymore. Doug Martin, I don't think he has a style of running that's conducive to a long career in the NFL. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bucs cut Doug Martin this year, because once again, we went over the stats last week. They ain't that good, and he doesn't bring that much to the table. The other kids in there, Rodgers, I think they're better, tougher running backs, and hopefully more durable. So I don't think Leonard Fournette is going to work. He's going to play 5 games and get hurt. Remember I told you this. Here's another name that I don't think is going to succeed, okay, because of the hybrid part of it. Now, if you're a running back that is a great receiver, that's great. But if you can't tote the pill from the backfield, you're just a different type of receiver. And that takes away from your assets. Christian McCaffrey has all the ability in the world. I don't think he's going to be a good running back, personally. Now, they're going to figure out a way to use him in different situations, but if you're bringing Christian McCaffrey in passing situations, and the defense changes what they got going on, and now they bring in different DBs. Now you got a DB on him. Now how great are you as a pass catcher? Now, from what I hear, the kid has wheels. And that's the other thing. He ain't going to be healthy. I'm telling you. He's another guy that was banged up a little bit in college and, you know, had some injuries here and there. And this is the last thing about Christian McCaffrey that pissed me the hell off, okay? I mean, it pissed me off as a former football player. He didn't play his bowl game with his compadres. Screw you, dude. I don't care where you're getting drafted. You play 4 years or 3 years, whatever it was, with Stanford, and you fight with these guys, and you're going to go to a bowl game, and you're not going to go because your name is Christian McCaffrey, and you're going to be a high draft pick. Well, how is that a team player? How is that a team player? Like, you know who I want on my team? A player that's going to play regardless. Like, can you imagine Ray Lewis not playing a college game because he's going to get drafted? That's not a team mentality. I like selfless players, okay? To me, that's not selfless. And I don't care who advised him. I don't care if his dad advised him. If anybody said to me, Ian, I want you to sit out your bowl game with your brothers, I'm going to say, screw you, I'm playing. But that's me. I like that mentality a lot more than Christian McCaffrey has. I just thought that was very selfish, okay? Whether it affects him later on, I don't know. But, you know, I think some of the veteran players, I think they saw that. I think they're going to check him and see what he's all about. And listen, I hope it works out for both those running backs, but I'm just not a running back guy anymore. And I'm telling you, the Marshawn Lynch thing, that experiment's not going to work. Marshawn Lynch, when he was with Seattle, I loved the guy. As a runner, you know what? I like Marshawn Lynch's attitude as well. Now, I don't give a crap what somebody says in the media. I really don't. I don't care if somebody doesn't talk to the media. Don't give a crap. Really don't. I just want to see what you do on the football field. And there's times where media could be very overbearing, okay? I'm in the media. And I can't stand some media people. I'm real cool with others. But the way a player reacts to the media, to me, has nothing to do with whether I want them to be a great football player or on my football team. So look at those names this year. And as we do In the Trenches, which is going to be every week, hopefully celebrating Buccaneer victories, I'm going to go back and look at some of my predictions. And I'm the kind of guy that will say I was wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before. I don't remember, but I was wrong a couple times, allegedly. But I already said, look, I didn't think Mariota and Jameis would both be good football players, and they are. Now, I didn't say great yet. They have the ability to be great, but right now they're both really good football players. Like, if you started a team today, it would be great to start with either one of those quarterbacks, okay? Like, you have a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger if he's healthy. But you wouldn't want to start a team with him, obviously. Obviously, you have a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, but you don't start with a 40-year-old quarterback. If it was to be a 40-year-old quarterback, it would be him, okay? That's going to be interesting because what you don't want to do is disrespect the game of football, okay? And I've heard Tom Brady say he wants to play till he's 45, and I love that. I mean, that's great. But just like Peyton Manning, The game of football has the ability to make it real old, real fast. Okay, like Peyton Manning was slinging it, all of a sudden he was old. Okay, and I know Tom Brady takes care of his body and does this and that, but your body's your body, brother. Okay, when you're hearing people now, we heard Giselle talk about concussions, and yes, Tom gets concussions, and you know what? It was big news for a week. Oh, my God, Giselle said Tom gets concussions. Yeah, okay? When you're getting licks like that, listen, concussions is not always you got knocked out or you can't remember stuff. Concussions is getting your bell rung. Like, I just took a cognitive test last week, and they asked me, have you ever had concussions? And I said, I believe I have two documented ones. I mean, they weren't severe. But I also said, I know that when you get your bell rung or you're dinged or at times you have headaches, those are concussions, okay? Listen, your brain is not meant to put on a helmet and smash it into people. You know, it's smashing against the side of your head. That's not good. They're like car crashes. Yeah, you hear the comparison of playing football and car crashes. Well, I've been in car crashes and they're similar, okay? There's times where I've been hit or was hitting, and a couple years ago, my Jaguar jackknifed on 275 and it went straight into the wall. It kind of felt like sometimes running up on a linebacker. You know, Mike Singletary back in the day, that little stumpy, mean son of a gun, when you hit him, you better pack a lunch because it's coming back at you. You know, there's a name, Sam Mills. Sam Mills is a name that nobody ever brings up. I thought was one of the best football players of all time. And he might have been 5'9". And he was a linebacker for the Saints. I believe he ended his career with Carolina. Sam Mills was 5'9", maybe 5'10", maybe. That hard-hitting son of a gun hit me so damn hard one time that I thought he removed my chin. Like, I turned my head and I saw a flash of light. And he hit me. And I was on the ground. And I remember feeling my chin because it didn't feel like it was there. So, once again, I didn't come off the field, but you can't tell me that's not a concussion, okay? Ben Roethlisberger, he's bringing up now that, you know, he's talking about concussions and this and that. Once you start talking about retiring, you're retired, okay? You got to watch that. Once you start talking about retiring, you know, things aren't easy to deal with anymore. at the end of my career, at the beginning of my career, I would freaking run and smash my head against a wall. That's just kind of my mentality. And towards the end of my career, I was like, man, this is not really fun anymore. And my last stint in the NFL, where I took a year off, and I went back out there. And that's what I'm saying about Marshawn Lynch taking a year off. It's not easy. Your mental, you know, you become inferior mentally because you're not used to it anymore. So I went out there with Denver my last year, and I went to one practice, didn't practice much, went to the second practice, didn't get many reps, and I went to coach who happened to be Alex Gibbs, who was probably the best position coach ever, okay, offensive line coach. He's, you know, coached I don't know how many 1,000-yard, 2,000-yard rushers. I said, coach, you know, I'm in my 10th year. I mean, I need to get some playing time. And he looks at me and says, I promise you Mark Schlereth goes down tomorrow and you'll get plenty of reps. And I go, really? And the next day, Mark Schlereth went down. So now I'm getting all the reps. He goes, you want the reps? You got reps. So I don't know how many reps I got that day. The last thing I did, I was in my room, in the hotel room in Denver. All of a sudden, I felt sick. I felt like I was going to throw up. So I get up to go to the sink. And then all of a sudden, my whole body cramped up. I mean, head to toe. Cramped up, bent over, sweating off my head like a faucet. And I was in the room screaming for help because I couldn't move. I don't know if it was 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 50 minutes. It felt like hours, okay? Finally, I got to the phone, called somebody, said, you got to bring in somebody to help me. They brought in a wheelchair, and they had to wheel me into the training room. And I took 3 bags of IV, kept on going, and I said, I'm still cramping. So I took 4 bags of IV, okay? That's a lot of liquid. That means you lost a lot of liquid. Now, Denver, with the altitude, obviously has a lot to do with it. So I lose 4 bags, and I got back to the room. I looked at the phone. I called my wife, and I go, I'm coming home. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, if I was young, I'd have shook that off. But as you got older, I'm like, this is just, that's not what I want anymore. Now, that's not, obviously not the way I wanted to go out. And nobody gets a chance to really go out the way they want to go out, unless you're John Elway or Peyton Manning. They got to go out the way they want to go out. But when you listen to guys like Ben Roethlisberger now, then you, when you start talking, like you've never heard Tom Brady say anything about it, but you've heard Ben Roethlisberger now say, you know, I'm leery of these concussions and blah, blah, blah. It's really the beginning of the end, okay? And I'm a big Ben Roethlisberger fan as a football player. I think he's got that warrior mentality. But keep your eye on him, too, because he doesn't sound like he's enjoying the ding part of it, because you're going to get ding, that's for sure. So football is this Friday. I'm excited. It's not really football, but it's kind of football. Football season's around the corner. I'm sure all you fantasy geeks are getting into your fantasy leagues. I don't really do it. I find it ruins the game for me because I don't really want to give a crap about what's happening in a Cincinnati game. I don't really want people calling me about trades, and that's just not my thing. But fantasy is a big deal, and you never know. During the season, we may dabble in that a little bit too, although, once again, it's not my deal. Although I can look at games and say, I see this guy going off, I see this guy going off, and, you know, maybe it can help out a little bit. For you guys that want to ask me questions, and I love your questions. Normally, I'm a radio guy, and you can phone in. You obviously can't phone in to a podcast. Go to IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. That's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. And if you have any questions, I'll bring your name up. I'll give you your credit, and I'll try to answer your question if I can. Either that, or I have social media. I'm on all the platforms at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. And I also have my Flavor in Your Ear podcast. This can usually comes out Friday morning, so I want you to listen to that as well, all on Radio Influence. So definitely take advantage of that. This is going to be a weekly thing, everybody. People are enjoying it. People keep on asking me at One Buck Place, where are you talking about the Bucks? Here we go. In the trenches, this is where we're talking about the Bucks, and this is what's going to happen all year long. And don't want to make the predictions, but I said playoffs a long time ago. 12-4 may be a little lofty, but there's no reason why this football team can't win 10 games. But every week, it's hard to win in the NFL. Every single week, it's hard. And they can't take that for granted. And they got to rally around their kid. They got to rally around the kid because he's rounding them up. And I think everybody there is a believer because he's doing it the right way. and you got to have more people doing it the right way, and you never know. So it's going to be fun this year. I appreciate you guys listening. I'll be watching a football game on Friday, and I'll be back on Monday talking about what happened. I'm the kind of guy to watch game 2, 3, 4 times sometimes, maybe not preseason, but definitely during the regular season. I'll be watching them over and over because I'm kind of sick like that with football. I kind of like it. I kind of enjoy it. It's funny, today Rob Taylor, the guy I played with, played beside for 3 or 4 years, offensive tackle, I always give him credit, him and Paul Gruber, for, you know, showing the young, some of the young players how to prepare. And he said to me today, and I never heard anybody say this, he goes, you were the only person I ever seen on the field having fun. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you love football. And I was like, you're right. Like, I played with some guys like Charles McRae, nice guy, but I heard him ask me this question: are we in the AFC or the NFC? And I look at him, I go, you being serious? He goes, yeah, we in the AFC or the NFC. And I'm like, well, we're in the NFC, bro. But you don't love football, man. You don't love football because when I was growing up, bro, I mean, everything I did was football. And you know what? It still is. It's all about football. Football season, I'm getting giddy. It's a beautiful thing. Appreciate you guys listening. In the Trenches, we'll be back next week. Everybody, please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com and remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.